Pharmacy was a jockey from Caliente, 5'3". Once over the border, I went to a judge. I said a woman wants a man, not a radiator cap. Divorce granted. $50.
Very smart, Anita.
I haven't been very smart since, George. I'm on the bargain counter now.
Anita, where are you?
You better go.
Let him wait. George, all these years, with all the others, I've shut my eyes and thought of you. I want to keep them open once again.
You better go.
Hey, what goes on? Who is this guy?
It's all right, my great big bull. Come along.
Yeah, that guy's bothering you.
Come on, my torero. Come on.
I sat there, thinking over what Anita had said. You just marry an American. As easy as that. Get hold of a wedding ring.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
It's time to pack your trunk and join us for Camp KBOO. Make a summer of memories with KBOO and support grassroots media by becoming a member today. Go to kboo.fm/give to help us reach our $50,000 goal by June 29th.
To Let's Talk. Let's Talk is a space for students from Portland Community College experiencing disabilities to discuss perspectives, ideas, and worldviews in an inclusive and accessible environment. We broadcast bi-weekly on our home website, pcc.edu/DCA, and bi-monthly right here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Today's the first Friday of the month, so we're having our live roundtable discussion. As a reminder, the views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of Portland Community College, PCC Foundation, or KBOO FM. My name is Asher, and in the room we have Miri, Michelle, Miguel, and our producer, Amanda. Before we begin our show, we will announce recent ongoing events at PCC and the general education sphere in Let's Talk, The Scoop. Take it away, Miri.
Welcome to The Scoop, where we tell you about what's going on at PCC and the educational sphere at large. I'm Miranda Stallions, and today I'm pretending to be Ira Glass. The Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, the agency that certifies and licenses teachers in Oregon, has elected a new commissioner. Rachel Alpert, former superintendent of the Dallas School District in Polk County, will be taking over for Interim Commissioner Melissa Goff. Oregon's $35 million summer learning bill is beginning distribution, though not without friction. Multiple high-priority schools and districts have declined the money, citing that the distribution came too late for them to make a meaningful plan on how to spend the money. Other large districts, including Portland Public and Beaverton, are on the low-priority wait list to receive this funding. Grants ranged from $20,000 to $1 million. Eddie Essien and Jamie McGrail, two guards for PCC's Panthers men's basketball team, are both accepting scholarships to other universities starting next fall. Both cite their bond with the team, as well as the support of award-winning coach Cameron Mitchell, as helping them find the drive to flourish in academia. Great job, you two. You're making us proud. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in favor of one woman's reverse discrimination lawsuit, a claimant of being passed over for promotions in favor of minority members. This ruling is being widely criticized as part of the increasing reinforcement of inequality passed through legislation in the past few years, and being a part of the reactionaryism that is pervasive in current government. Reddit has filed suit against AI startup Anthropic for allegedly using data stolen from their users of their site. This marks the most recent in an increasing number of AI-related lawsuits from companies and individuals questioning the ethics of this new business technology. Employees cut from the Department of Education during President Trump's mass layoffs are returning to work after a federal appeals court upheld a judge's ruling stating that the executive order that designated the layoffs violated multiple laws. While the decision is, as of current, still a temporary measure, it provides massive relief to thousands of school districts relying on the support of the government and those workers. I'm Miranda Stallions, and this has been The Scoop.
Thanks, Mary. Today we're going to talk about a more in-depth topic because our producer, Amanda, is due to leave next month.
Hi, so everyone. Sad. Or bye, everyone. Bye. I don't know what I would say.
We'll so really miss you. Yeah.
That really sounded convincing.
You want to hear what you'll be, where you'll be going and what you'll be doing on your next journey, and also just talk about what you've been doing leading up to this next big leap on your career journey.
Okay, sounds good, thank you.
Yeah, so go ahead and just introduce yourself and like what you do and where you're gonna be going, all that fun stuff.
Okay, hi everyone. I don't know if the KBOO audience knows me or not, but my name is Amanda. I'm one of the lead producers at the Let's Talk Podcast Collective at PCC. I started Let's Talk Autism specifically, and I produced a number of talks at podcasts surrounding autism, neurodivergence, and other related topics. And the podcasts were wonderfully edited by Asher and Miri here, who are nothing but wonderful. And they have tolerated my overlong podcasts and have miraculously edited my rambling, and along with Ricardo and Nikhil, who aren't here with us, but they're wonderful too. And Michelle and Miguel here have also been wonderful support. And Phyllis, who is not in our conversation today, she is basically our mediator between us and the higher PCC authority. So she has been wonderful. I feel very blessed that I've had such supportive coworkers and that we can work so cohesively together. Mm-hmm. And so I'm high-functioning autistic, and I have been wanting to be a veterinarian my whole life. I did all of my STEM, and I have kind of a complicated academic history, but I did get all of my STEM courses done at PCC, which also inspired me to start two STEM discussion groups at PCC, one for students and one for instructors, where we can kind of foster a more inclusive environment for STEM courses, including acting as a mediator, or like me and Phyllis acted as a mediator kind of between students and instructors, where they exchanged feedback, and that also helped kind of create or pursue different learning approaches that will hopefully make STEM learning, at least at PCC, better in the future. And that was a very long answer, so I hope I didn't bore everyone to death with that.
No, you're good. Well, this is what we're doing. We're talking about you. Yeah. Where are you going next?
So I am going to veterinary school at the University of Surrey. More specifically, it's called the University of Surrey School of Veterinary Medicine. It's in England, and I'm very excited. And I did apply to vet school. I applied to vet school twice. The first time I applied to vet school, I want to say it was like 3 years ago, maybe two. I forget exactly when, but I did not get in the first time I applied to vet school because due to my previous academic history my previous academic history, my GPA was honestly too low to really be accepted or taken seriously at traditional vet schools. So that's what inspired me to kind of pursue animal science at Oregon State, to get a full bachelor degree in animal science, and to get all of my STEM courses completed at PCC. I did do a couple of animal science courses at Oregon State, but after I got my new animal science bachelor, I had a high enough GPA to where I was accepted into a vet school, and the University of Surrey really is a good environment. They actually are kind of non-traditional themselves in England in the sense that they started off as a polytechnic school and they kind of embrace neurodivergence as well as people from non-traditional academic backgrounds that want to pursue, higher academia. So I really appreciated that.
That's really mm-hmm. cool. Yeah.
Opening up the table just for everybody, if you guys have any questions for Amanda, Michelle, and Miguel. But yeah, our general question is, why are you, what got you interested in pursuing the path of being a veterinarian?
My mom would probably be a better person to talk to about this, but according to my mom, I have wanted to be a veterinarian since I could talk. And I don't really have a clear idea of what made me want to be a veterinarian. I just remember wanting to be a veterinarian as long as I remember. And I think according to my mom, I wanted to be a veterinarian as soon as I found out what that was. I honestly don't know why, but I think it has to do with the fact that I'm autistic and I've always related better to animals, better than humans, and I've always felt more comfortable around animals versus humans. And that's kind of a common thing with neurodivergent people in general, especially autistic people. Like if you read Temple Grandin's book, Animals in Translation, she also talks about how autistic people tend to prefer animals over humans because with animals, it's basically all nonverbal communication. There's no tricks, if that makes sense, where it's like humans, there's this pattern I have to memorize and kind of interpret where it's like I'm watching for changes of topic or I guess listening for changes of topics. I'm listening for changes of voices or tones. It's like anything to tell me that someone's getting upset or someone is uncomfortable with a topic. I don't really follow social cues very well or social rules very well. So as a kid, I kind of just had to wander through a minefield and just figure out patterns as I went. Whereas animals, it's like what you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess, a long-winded answer, but I also have always loved animals and I've always loved animal behavior especially. And in fact, my first job was at a dog kennel where I would walk and play with dogs of all shapes and sizes, which is why I have a lot of experience working with all sorts of dogs. And then
It is.
I have quite a few stories there. And then it's like,
tell us a story about what was your favorite dog?
At the kennel or like at, in general or at the clinic or at like veterinary clinics or
the kennel. Tell us some stories about the kennel, please.
Let's see. So probably one of my favorite dogs I walked at the kennel was a German Shepherd named Jedi. It was all black German Shepherd and he was a stunning dog.
It's cute.
The problem is this dog did not know how to walk on a leash, and the where the kennel was, it was kind of off of Roy Rogers, that new high school was that didn't used to be there, that used to be like a lot of property out there, and this kennel was out kind of in that's wide area where there used to be a bunch of forest. So if this dog saw a deer, you were getting dragged into the bush.
Oh no.
He wasn't aggressive. It's just a high prey drive and did not know the word sit.
Yeah, I feel like with German Shepherds, you really have to take time
to
train them.
like all the German Shepherds that my family has had, like they'll go after deer.
They will,
it's
yeah.
It's just like the herding hunter instinct that they have. Mm-hmm. And if something runs, they want to chase after it, so. Yeah.
They're very yeah. sweet dogs though, I do yeah. love them. They are like one of those dogs though, like you said, where it's like they do require consistency and a firm hand with training.
Yeah, and also I think like a lot of space, like physical space and like exercise too.
Oh yeah, mental yeah. stimulation. You have to give them challenges. Like huskies are that way too. Mm-hmm. Another notable dog at the kennel was this beautiful husky named Sasha. Oh. No, she was a red husky, stunning.
Whoa, red.
Or I wow. think it's. I think that would be the color red. I forget what the AKC color is with all the dog.
Is it like red, like Irish Setter red, or like brown, or like?
I thought she was Irish Setter red, but it's like, okay. No, she had like the traditional husky like color pattern, like where she was mostly white, but it's like, but she was like red highlighted, you know, on her back mm-hmm. and her tail and her legs.
Oh, that's so cute.
No, she's gorgeous. But the problem was she was not spayed. So she's what we would call a breeding bee. I'm not allowed to say the word here, but, and I'm not trying to curse. That is just what it's called.
Yeah.
So the problem is she wasn't socialized and she was highly aggressive.
Oh baby.
Yeah. So we couldn't walk her at all.
How is she at a shelter if she was really aggressive?
Because this kennel, let me put it this way, this kennel wasn't above board in all ways. To give you an idea, they had a couple of 14-year-olds working there when they really shouldn't have been.
Oh,
okay.
Man. Oh, these poor babies.
Poor babies.
I think yeah. it's actually
No, a 14-year-old child.
Oh, not like, a 14-year-old.
Not dog.
No, yeah. the dog, I don't know. I'm That'd guessing the dog was like around two to three based on her looks.
They're like little teenagers then.
They're teenagers.
Well, they're also prime breeding age at that point. It's like a breeding age of a dog, I want to say, is the breeding basically in terms of how breeding works, usually breeders use dogs and cats, I want to say, from like 2 to 7
years old.
Actually, let's rephrase that. Good breeders,
two to seven.
German Shepherd, like the first German Shepherd that we got, the breeder was breeding her mom until like she was like 14 or something.
Oh, no, don't.
I know.
No.
I know. We found that out and we were like super mad.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's not sad. Fair.
Yeah, and like ethical fair. Breeding is. Something I like in this conversation, that's actually a good point Michelle brings up. If you, I don't have anything against people wanting to seek out breeders for specific breeds of dog or cat or whatever animal you want, but what I really, really want the audience to do is find it ethical, do your research and find ethical breeders.
Or just go to your local like animal shelter.
Yes. I do agree with animal shelters too. The problem is adopting animals has become increasingly more difficult.
Oh yeah.
I guess prices for adopting.
And stuff. Yeah. No.
Also, I was gonna say for kids working at a kennel, like, I mean, they should obviously like be paid like the legal amount, but then also I feel like with kids, like they're not as afraid as adults. If that makes sense, like you're like, oh, I'll work with this dog, even though it's a little aggressive. Whereas an adult would be like, oh my gosh, lawsuit. Because when I was working with like our German Shepherd kind of became fear aggressive around some people because we had a trainer, like we were in a group dog training and we were like walking around in a circle and she like bit this other dog's tail, which it was probably a play thing, but since she was a German Shepherd, people were like, ah, German Shepherd. Oh. And this dog trainer literally like jumped on her. Yeah.
Eesh.
Yeah, I know. Eesh. So yeah, she like my mom was freaking out. Like I was like surprised, but like also I was like, okay, like she feels uncomfortable. It's my job to make her feel comfortable around other dogs and people. So I don't know. Whereas like my mom would be like holding tight onto the leash and being like freaking out, like the dog would pick up on that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I think kids, like they don't have as much life experience or like fear.
No.
So like they can sometimes handle animals better than adults.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
What I would say about that is, I think there are elements of what you say are true, but at least at the kennel, the 14-year-olds working there, they were used to animals anyways, and they were actually there. They both told me why they were working there. They knew the owner, and they just wanted to earn money for their horses, and they And it's like, that. And it's like they were
honesty right there.
Well, it's, I didn't have anything against it. It's like most of the dogs they handled were safe. I was the one who got stuck with the occasional dog that liked to bite my calf. Oh. But
I want to say I've been bit on the calf by a German Shepherd because I was like,
mine was
running.
A boxer.
Oh no!
But like, it was kind of like, it wasn't like holding on. It just kind of bit me and then let go. And I stopped and I like turned around and I like looked at the owners and I'm like, you have to keep your dog on a leash or otherwise this happens. Wow. And like, I was just like,
was the owner just standing there?
Yeah, yeah. They were just like taking it.
What?
Because
no, that's not
it
okay.
Been, like, I know. Well, no. I mean, I was like giving them a piece of my mind, but like, I don't know. It was like, like I was like, hey, look, care. I have German Shepherds too. Like, I understand German Shepherds. This is an aggressive thing. It's just like a really kind of hyped up play thing. So yeah. Anyway, sorry, I'm like taking
it. No, it's a conversation. But what I was also going to say is this actually kind of goes into how I would recommend, like another question that we came up with, like about lifestyles and recommendations I give mm-hmm. to people about animals. If you have younger children, I actually recommend larger dogs anyways, but because honestly, little kids are pretty traumatic for a lot of animals because they don't know how to behave around them. Yeah. Right. They don't know to lower their voices. They don't know to not to be still and calm and kind of control their shaking because it's yeah. like they're excited. They're around something new. So my mom in particular, one of the things she really instilled in me and my sister is how to be gentle and careful around animals. Like one of my earliest memories is I'm three or something and I'm holding this baby chick at a farm. My mom had her thumbs in between the chick and my hands to mm-hmm. make sure I wasn't squeezing the chick. And she also made sure to say, use gentle voice. Like basically gentle is calm and quiet.
Yeah.
And she just knew for some, and she made sure, and she just watched me. She watched my sister and I, she just made sure we learned. And it's just, it's not something kids know how to do automatically. So that's why if you're introducing kids to animals, I really do recommend like labs, retrievers, pit bulls, Newfoundlands.
Golden retrievers, yeah.
I had a German Shepherd growing up. His name was Champion.
Aww.
And so I used to, when I was like 3 or 4, I used to ride him like a pony. He was such an adorable puppy. And so he used to go with us everywhere. Like I remember going to elementary school and since it was a small town, like we had, he used to walk to school with us.
Aww.
And so he would stay there the whole time until I would get off school and then he would walk home.
Oh, cute.
That's a German Shepherd.
That's a German Shepherd.
So loyal.
I love German Shepherds.
Yes. And he would lay in front of the door. People thought he was aggressive, but no, he was just lazy. He just wanted to sleep all day.
He was just lazy.
That's fun. Yeah.
German Shepherds don't look scary to me. They always look so cute. No,
they do. And then like they'll do their like, they just bark a lot. And then like what I was always told is like, their mouth is like their hands. So they're really mouthy. It's just because they're like toddlers that just want to get into everything.
Yeah. He never bit me. He never like bit any of our family at all.
Nice.
Like he was just a really good boy.
Aww.
He was just a howler though. He loved to howl.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like those kind of dogs and huskies also.
Huskies sing.
They just sing.
This is
their souls out. It's adorable.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
This is what I tell people at vet clinics. If they hear screams of death, it is either a bird, a husky, a Shiba Inu, a cat.
Oh, Shiba.
And, or a bird.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Did I say bird already?
No. Yes, you did say bird.
I think I meant to say...
Yeah, you said a parrot, but yeah.
A parrot.
Sorry, I meant to say angry cat, can be a German Shepherd, but it's usually a husky, Shiba Inu, and bird.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say the first German Shepherd that we had wouldn't bite me. She would bite my sister.
Oh, no. She had beef with your sister.
What did your sister do to this poor dog?
I don't know. She probably like pulled her tail or something.
Oh, okay. I remembered you pulled my tail.
You pulled my tail one too many times. Yep. How dare you?
And German Shepherds, they don't have tails. They have like banners.
Kinda, like, they really do.
Like their personality.
They
like,
do a little bit,
yeah.
They're not, huskies to me are the ultimate tail banners though, because they just curl.
Uh-huh.
They freaking, Malamutes, that was the other dog I was thinking of that scream in clinics.
They do scream. Okay, that's
funny. They are cute, though. It's like, and it's like, I just think it's so hilarious because they're so dramatic.
Oh, you know what? I wanted to say, like, just kind of a tangent, but kind of relates. The first movie that I saw in theaters was Snow Dogs.
Oh, my God, yes!
Yeah, so, love that.
I actually saw that movie like 10 times. I don't blame you.
Nice. Yes. Yeah.
It's great.
Champion was really particular. Like, he will only howl if something bad would happen in the family.
Mm. Oh.
So when my cousin was murdered, the puppy was crying like all night long, and he found out the next day something that happened to my cousin. Yeah.
Dang.
Animals just know. Yeah, they get like a sense, like a other sense that something is going on. Like, now that's just amazing.
Yeah, if you have an animal, especially like horses can do this too. If a horse is refusing to go down a path of any kind, listen to the horse. Don't force it.
No, yeah.
Because usually if they're refusing to go down, there's a predator. There's a cougar, there's a coyote, there's a bear, there's wolves, there's something that the horses sees that you're not seeing. Just trust it.
Time to turn around.
Then I feel then you should get like a donkey to just travel over the place.
Donkeys, yeah.
Because like donkeys are fearless, and like my neighbors have a bunch of donkeys as their like guard donkeys to.
Yes, I love that.
To ward away the cougars.
Yes.
Llamas too, right? Or not llamas.
No,
they'll
try,
but they will get eaten.
Yeah.
No, alpacas are actually littler than llamas.
Oh, really?
Huh. You want to get a donkey.
Yeah, donkeys are way better.
Like, as long as you stay away from their hooves, you're fine.
Yeah.
So, donkeys are also hardy. They can survive, like, any weather, especially hot weather. Like, India and Africa both utilize donkeys very well for that reason.
But maybe I should just get a mountain goat.
Cougars and coyotes.
That's the problem. That's the problem with llamas, though, actually. Llamas actually are actually really good at leading sheep out of a field. Because here's the thing about sheep. I don't want to say they're dumb, but they kind of are. Michelle, you've probably seen this too. They will just stand in a field and just sink into the field if it rains.
I haven't seen that, but I believe it.
But anyways, llamas will actually lead sheep out of the field and in like onto higher ground, and sheep will follow them because they think it's a really tall sheep.
That's funny. Why get a border collie when you could get a llama?
Llamas are really protective too. They actually guard sheep really well. The problem is they aren't going to survive against a cougar. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think I've seen this video of either a llama or a paca making this noise whenever there's like danger or something, and it just warns all the other animals and like these guard dogs at this farm or something, which was really cool to see it in action. And I was like, whoa, that was a llama or that was an alpaca? I didn't know they made a noise like that.
They make noises.
Well, I mean, I know they make noises. I just didn't know it
all
came from a llama.
So defend your fortress. On the outside, you have a ring of donkeys. And then on the watchtowers, you have alpacas or llamas to be the alarm.
To be the alarm.
Yeah. Oh, and you also need Anatolian shepherds or some type of I love livestock guardian dogs. Anatolian shepherds, to me, are absolutely second to none. With livestock guardian dogs. Okay. I love them.
You heard it live, guys. We gotta get a bunch of llamas.
Defend your castle.
Defend your castle.
Defend your castle
defend
with llamas.
Defend your town with llamas and German shepherds.
Yeah. Just announced the US military is spending all of its budget for next year on llamas.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I would love that.
Well, there actually are military trained bomb dogs, and I think I don't know about horses, but I know that the police. Oh, yes, the rats.
Yes.
Yes, I love the rats. The Gambian pouch rats, yes.
Yeah, they don't set off landmines.
So. Oh, yeah.
And they have a better sense of smell than any dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a rat or a mouse in this news story that like helped disable a bunch of like landmines or something?
Yeah. Yes. And Gambian pouch rats are actually being used in India to actually diagnose TB and cancer with specific. I don't know about cancer, but I know TB.
How do they do that?
The biochemical emissions from samples.
Oh, okay.
Do they like just do some sort of like?
Well, they just train.
This person has cancer. This person has.
They just like, you know how like the hunting dogs like have their paw up,
and
they like go really rigid.
They, point,
they do the same thing, but they have their little rat tail like kind of
pointing
point out. Yeah,
that's so fun. Is it true? Or?
Well, I don't know what the signal the rats are trained to use, but I can tell you with airport dogs, airport security dogs, they will just sit down on a bag that they're suspicious of. they won't make a scene. They're just trained to sit down if they identify something.
That's
When I was coming back into the States, they had like a video about beagles, which I thought was like really, really cheesy. And then like actually like in the airport or in the Mary's dancing.
Using dog ears for those who cannot see.
Yeah. Anyways, there were a bunch of beagles in that airport, and I was like,
probably training.
This is cute.
Probably training, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Cool. Well, I mean, getting
and also,
back.
Oh, and also, Miguel, I'm sorry about your cousin. I hope that she got justice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who did?
Oh, your cousin who got murdered?
Yes, she did get justice. I think so.
That's good.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, speaking about German Shepherds, because you can never talk about them enough.
No, you cannot. I agree with this.
The two that we have now.
Oh
so
my God,
elk,
yes, you're so lucky.
Well, they're like, they're okay. They like don't like, if they have like the thing where they like, if it's like the two of them, like they'll have a hard time listening to you. It's
yeah.
really annoying.
Yeah.
And they're from the same litter, so they're like,
oh
super
no,
annoying.
They're siblings.
Oh no, oh no, yeah. oh no.
They,
oh
they
no.
used to have better, like, they now have like, what is it, attachment?
Puppy syndrome, yeah.
Anxiety or whatever
yeah,
to each other.
Yeah, puppy syndrome.
Yeah. But
that's why I said
puppy
oh, no.
syndrome
say,
meow.
What?
What?
You call it puppy syndrome meow?
No, I
meow?
Said no. I said puppy syndrome no.
So oh. Puppy syndrome no. Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you said puppy syndrome meow. I was like,
they're
what?
Not cats. No. I'm sorry.
I do know a dog that like meows like a cat.
Oh, or acts
probably
like a
Shiba.
Yeah. No, he's like some kind of a terrier, and he's
okay.
Got, like,
that also
really,
fits.
Really horrible underbite. Anyways, I was gonna say like so elk sound like coyotes like with their like
they
yips.
Do, yeah. They
yeah.
Do.
So we know when there's like elk out because like the two German Shepherds will start trying to howl, and because that's not what their breed is meant to do, they sound really pathetic. So it's great.
Yeah. What are their names?
Buddha and Sundra.
I love that. I love
Buddha.
It so much.
That's yeah. so fun.
You're yeah. lucky, you guys. I miss having a dog so much, in fact. But my wife has forbid me from bringing home a German Shepherd from when I'm in vet school.
Yeah.
Or other kittens. But, like, I was not allowed to hold kittens in my veterinary shadow hours for the longest time because my wife did not trust me to resist.
Would you have resisted?
No.
Did you resist?
No. They no. already had homes. That's how I resisted. The times I did break and hold kittens, they already had homes.
Okay.
Aww. So it's like, okay, yeah, I can't steal
Do
them.
Do you have any stories of, like, coming home and your wife's like, hey, I hear frogs creaking, like, or whatever.
Croaking? Creaking. Croaking.
I knew that it had something to do with a creek. Anyways.
Like, are you asking me if I, like, just brought animals
yeah,
home?
Yeah, have
I
you, like,
surprised?
Snuck animals home and then
you got wife's like,
by our laundry
not
is meowing.
Sorry to interrupt you.
All good.
I didn't do that with my wife. My wife, Julie does not... can't really, Julie doesn't have the same soft heart my mom does. My mom, okay, it's actually hilarious. My mom, my sister, and I have all done that to each other.
You guys, you really?
Guys.
What did you guys do?
Home animals.
Okay, so there's actually several separate stories. I brought home a rabbit one time, and.
What was his name?
Larry.
Larry the rabbit.
That's cute.
It was a little Jersey Wooly who had kind of a bite history, and he kind of reminded me of my old 4-H rabbit, so I told my mom, I'll always take care of it. So I didn't really sneak him in, but I did kind of end up dumping him on her a little bit because I was in corrals, I ain't gonna lie. And so I wouldn't, but the only time I think we really genuinely snuck an animal in was when my sister was at a, was a counselor at a nature camp, and she brought home this baby snake, this baby garter snake. And she just asked me, like, we ended up letting it go because it's like, we kind of realized we just weren't set up for this baby snake at all. But basically what happened was she and other counselors ended up hatching a bunch of garter snakes for some reason. They, like, found a bunch of eggs or something and they hatched it.
Great.
And,
these aren't chickens.
Well, no, they knew they were snake eggs. It's like they didn't look anything like chicken eggs. It's just my sister was like, I wanted a baby snake, Amanda. Can we keep it? And it was a really tame snake. It would crawl around your finger and everything. So it was perfectly harmless. No, they were handled from day one.
I remember picking up snakes as a kid, and then
we didn't end up keeping it though.
You guys are so brave. I cannot.
Snakes aren't venomous at all. It's like they'll bite, but they're not venomous. They don't even really hurt.
Any animal that bites me is a no-go.
Well, they're not rattlers. It's like you wouldn't pick up a rattlesnake, that's for sure.
I want to pick up a snake. Period.
Really, snakes are really cool. I love snakes.
I would like rather be paid not to be next to a snake.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I lived kind of in a rural place, so what else are you gonna do?
Well, pick up snakes, yeah.
I just grew up around animals.
Pick up frogs, why not?
My mom
I did too, because
pick up roller pulleys.
Like, I think my mom grew up in the same town you did, actually, so.
Or ladybugs.
Well, wait, you're from Newport,
right? I would be fine with ladybugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom grew up in Toledo.
Did you guys pick up ladybugs in elementary school?
Like, oh, yeah, like, and butterflies and caterpillars and potato bugs, as I call them.
We used to go in like little camps as elementary kids, and we're like, let's see who can find the most ladybugs, and then people were like, here's ladybug me going, I'm like, ew, what is this?
What is this?
Yeah, they smell bad.
Bad. Do they smell
Ladybugs smell horrible, actually.
There's an imposter ladybug that supposedly bites and smells worse than an actual ladybug.
Really? Actually, I never heard of that.
An imposter ladybug?
Yeah.
What's Mother Nature dishing out right now?
There's a lot of imposters in nature, and it's
there is.
So predators don't eat them.
Yeah.
Because they're like, this...
Like the hoverflies are.
This animal is more awesome than myself. I'm like seriously filtering myself right now. this animal is cooler than I am. I'm gonna make myself look like it.
It's called convergence.
Like, I saw like this monkey wearing army pants and flip flops, so I bought army pants and flip flops.
Oh my!
Don't give the monkey ideas, Michelle. They will rise up and kill us.
It's a movie reference.
I can actually imagine.
It's like monkeys steal clothes all and jewelry all the freaking time.
Well, I was in seventh grade. Yeah. I had to do a report or like a poster board on a country, and I chose Malaysia.
Wife's from there.
And I chose.
Or my wife's family's from there.
I really wanted an orangutan as a pet, and I was like,
no.
Kind of scary.
Orangutans
are
terrifying.
Very scary. Yeah, no.
They're beautiful, but they're terrifying. Not as much as chimps. Like,
they also stink.
I don't understand the whole like, let's get a tiger and make it a pet, or let's get like a monkey
Tigers are great pets. Tigers, but only for me.
If you can take care of it, if you
have fun
want
with
to settle.
Have fun with a savannah cat. That's all I gotta say to that.
Yeah. I'll be fine with having a fox as a pet. I mean, they're fun.
Well, they actually are domesticated. There's actually a domesticated line of foxes from Russia that were developed, I know. They're real foxes, actually. I don't know if Japan has it. I know.
Ooh, did we ever figure out what does the fox say? What sound they make?
Exactly.
That's literally what they do.
Yeah.
They do this laugh. They do like a...
It's actually not a good sound, just saying.
It's not.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And they also scream, too. So
no, I mean, foxes are usually silent, so if they're making a noise, that's usually not a good sign about something. Usually that means they're in distress or they're trying to tell you to F off.
Oh.
Okay.
Or they're excited. It's one or the other.
I mean, I guess there is an excited sound, but foxes are like feral cats. It's like the wise thing in survival is to stay silent, and the only time they would make noise is if they're trying to find their babies or if they're like doing territory calls.
Oh, maybe I'm just so used to domesticated animals and just bark and howl for no reason.
Did you ever have to take care of turtles in the veterinary hospital?
I wouldn't say in a hospital setting, but in the exotic clinic, it's like we had plenty of turtle patients, turtle and geckos and lizards.
Aww. Any favorites of yours? You're like, I want to.
And the exotic clinic?
Yeah.
Definitely the sugar gliders, ain't gonna lie.
Oh, those are cute. Sugar gliders are cute.
They are so cute, and what we had to do to prepare for sugar glider clients was actually really, really interesting, because we had to like put covers on all the doors, on like all the bottoms and tops of the doors and all the air vents, because these things are literally so flat and little, they will just slide in there.
Oh.
And they are like fuzzy liquid, quite literally.
Like cats.
They are more than cats. They are literally liquid. Yeah. It's like they're as flat. They're flatter than your palm.
Oh, wow.
And they will climb all over you. It's really cute. And when a sugar glider is mad, the sound they make is, I don't know how to describe it.
Do they chitter?
Yeah. They chitter, but it sounds More angry than that.
Like really aggressive chittering.
At least to me it sounds angry, but yeah, but, and also people do not know how to feed them because of the name sugar glider. People are like, oh, let's just give them fruit and nectar all the time. I'm like, no, that's gonna cause them diabetes. You need, they're actually primarily insectivores, actually. They will.
So they eat like insects, yeah. Basically. Oh,
so how do you take care of them?
Yeah. So if you're gonna get sugar glider, first of all, you need to get at least two. I actually don't recommend sugar gliders for this climate because it's too cold. They're tropical animals by nature. But if you are gonna get them,
get a heat lamp.
You also need to have a big enclosure, like for a ferret. You also need a huge enclosure for a ferret or a chinchilla. Mm. And you also need to give them plenty of places where they can hide. Oh. And they're also primarily nocturnal animals, so do not expect them to. Well, if you look at their eyes, it's basically all black and huge. That's actually indicative of nocturnal animal. Like that's just what they look like. That's why their eyes are like that. So they're highly sensitive to light, and they are primarily active during nighttime hours. So if you want to sleep at 3 a.m., you're not going to have that.
That's fun. You just have like lamps crashing because your sugar glider is trying to like fly around your house.
And they add three times fast.
Another thing about them, they will escape because, as I said, they're flat. So if you have a cage with bars with a big enough space, they will just. They'll just slide out. Oh, they're like, I don't need a door. I can just go through the bars.
What are the biggest cats that are? What are those called, Amanda? Like those big cats that are like 3 feet tall?
You mean this like a domesticated cat?
Yeah, the domestic ones.
Like
yeah.
Maine Coons.
The Maine Coon.
There's like several breeds that come to mind with that description.
Long cat.
Like Bengals are long, big, but they're not usually that big. I was thinking like Savannahs. Savannahs are like serval hybrids with domestic cats, which I honestly don't recommend.
Why don't you recommend them?
Yeah.
So hybrid animals are actually a very interesting standpoint for conservationists because to me, I look at them as a compromise. Basically, we don't want people to have wild animals taken out of the wild or domesticated or bred for human captivity reasons like pets. So the idea with hybrids is, okay, we have elements of wild and domestic, but the problem is when people have hybrid animals like wolf hybrids, savannas, and other fun stuff, what happens is people end up abandoning them a lot of times or neglecting them a lot of times because their needs are not what they're expecting, because a lot of times they need bigger enclosures, they need more activities, they need a higher protein diet because, you know, they're mostly wild animals. They're not domestic. They don't behave like a domestic animal.
So who would have thought that your 500-pound liger needs about
Like a liger has no
a week.
Like a liger has no place in the wild. It just doesn't. There's no place or niche for it. And I forget if ligers are sterile. I think they are.
I think they are. And I think they're also like really mellow though. Mm. So. Or at least you're from okay. What I've heard. I've never heard of a liger like turning on its,
And another thing I don't like about the hybrid space is the fact that honestly, it's just status symbol. So a lot of people just get them for the looks, like the Savannah cat's a huge, huge example of that, where it's like F1 Savannahs, which basically means generation one. It's like, on average, I would say you're gonna look at between $15,000 to $20,000 per animal. And that's just the buy price. That doesn't even account for the fact that you have to feed them mostly protein. Mm. And that means meat, you cannot give them normal cat food. They have to have basically an all meat diet, like raw food.
Can you imagine just giving like a tiger like a big bag of cat food?
Like the tiger just sitting there like, do you think I'm a joke?
Yeah, I know, right? Does this look like my picture on this bag?
How dare you? Yeah.
Another thing is they need huge enclosures. You need to either walk them or you need to have a huge, huge backyard enclosure where they can run around and be a wild animal. They just do. Same with wolf hybrids.
Yeah. I'm not advertising this at all, but I just saw this video of a mobile dog runner thing. They have these tracks for dogs and they like get the dog into the car and then they put them on this track and they can run as fast as they can while leashed to like this running track, basically. It's basically like a gym for
treadmill.
Dogs. I couldn't quite figure out the word.
I need to get that for Mittens then because
still Mittens.
Yeah, because sometimes you're like the animal is stuck with a human who's just walking really slowly for a walk. Yeah. But then when in reality, they need to run. They need to get all that energy out. So that's a really cool thing where you could just like hire the service and like get your dog in there and just run for like, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours.
Or just buy a treadmill and like.
Or buy a treadmill, yeah.
Let your dog
walk.
That's what
my wife needs for me.
A treadmill.
Whenever she tries to take me on a walk, I just run circles around her.
Just run circles. Humans need it too. We need to get all that energy out.
Yes, we do.
So that's kind of, and that kind of goes into the lifestyle thing again, where it's like.
What do you think of gerbils?
They're cute. I'm not really sure what else you want from me, though.
So my friend had a gerbil, and her dog ate them.
Well, that's kind of expected. I'm not really sure what your friend expected to happen there.
Why did he have a dog and a gerbil at the same time?
Well, they were babies. They had
that's not
dog and a gerbil
as babies.
The friend.
Like, did they like? How did like? Did they want the gerbils and the dog to be friends? Or something?
No, they were in their cage, and the dog, I guess the cage was like 3 feet tall, and the dog jumped up and
killed them.
Oh,
yeah.
That's sad.
I ate all 5 of them.
Dog.
My coworker, he was trying to figure out which one of his dogs ate the.
It doesn't matter. Don't have hamsters or gerbils with dogs or cats.
Take more gerbils
it doesn't matter.
Try to
even macaws,
the
even birds, don't have them.
Don't mix like a predator with the prey. Like that's literally don't do it.
And don't and macaws too. Do not trust macaws with gerbils or hamsters. They will eat meat.
Yeah, no. Do not
these poor animals.
Mix your animals together, especially if they're predator and prey.
Yeah.
Please don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Basically, what I was going to say is when I'm recommending animals in general for people, I really tell people to critically look at their lifestyle and say, okay, what would actually work for you? Like, for example, if you're in an apartment, you probably want a smaller dog like a King Charles Spaniel, which is one of my favorite breeds, but despite its health issues. And then, or like a Chihuahua or a Dachshund or.
No Chihuahuas. Just,
my point is, you need a smaller, or like a cat, obviously. Or like, I don't
know,
a
low maintenance fish.
Yes.
Fish are actually really hard to take care of, actually.
I mean, like the ones
fish
that like, require.
So
the ones that require. That's why you get like feeder fish that can withstand anything you throw at them.
Actually,
why are we coming back to
I tried. It wasn't me. It was her.
Stop. Just stop.
Anyways.
Anyway.
So also,
there's like fish tanks that like you need to have like the right temperature, the right pH, the right lighting,
so,
because your fish are super like finicky and they're tropical or whatever.
Yeah. So should you get a crab then, or like
snails?
Snail or like?
Yeah.
I mean, you could. I don't know why you would.
What kind of cat would you get for a starter? Like, if I wanted to own a cat in my small apartment and I have like no experience whatsoever.
Like, would you recommend her a mittens, or would you recommend her?
A wild feral cat. Yes, so let's start us off with that.
Mittens was not wild or feral. I just want to say that. Those were my 3 previous feral babies that were a journey and a half to tame.
Okay, yeah.
So honestly, most mixed breed cats will do. If you want a purebred cat, if you really want to spend the money on a purebred cat, I would say.
Get an American Curl. Those cats are like $4,000.
Is a Maine Coon like a standard or not really?
I mean, a Maine Coon is a popular cat, but it's like, to me, it's just not worth the money to spend on a purebred. And it's going to cost you a couple $1,000.
Just get a calico off the street. You know,
just start feeding them.
Honestly, with cats, I actually recommend, unless if you have small children, then I have specific breed recommendations. But really, with cats, it's actually what I recommend not getting. For a first-time cat owner, I do not recommend the Bengal or Savannah or Savannah at all.
What would you recommend?
I would just say if it's not those two breeds, you're probably going to be fine.
Okay. Cool.
Or Japanese bobtails are actually kind of finicky, I guess.
Do you recommend a female cat or a male cat?
I love neutered males, both with dogs and cats, because they generally tend to be more mellow and chill.
Oh, yeah. Neutered male.
Neutered male specific. Oh, intact male in any species are a pain in the butt. I'm sorry. They territory mark and they tend to get aggressive and testosterone-y. So spayed females, it's like, honestly, they're moody regardless if they have their uterus and ovaries or not, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Mittens is definitely moody right now.
Well, she's also a tortoise shell, so that, yeah.
That's it.
Sundra is like the boss of Buddha.
Yeah, so, that's pretty typical.
Yeah,
like, for some reason, females just tend to be more dominant than males, at least with my experience. I'm not saying that's always the case, but I always dogs and cats, I usually prefer neutered males myself. Huh. And if I was able to have horses, I would definitely go for a gelding versus a mare.
Oh, interesting.
A gelding is a neutered male, by the way. A stallion is an intact male horse, and stallions are kind of a pain, honestly, too. But they do look good. I will say that.
Look good, just the looks.
Just the looks are necessary.
Well, stallions, for some reason, they strut. I'm not sure why, but they have a certain strut to them. Like, if you've been around horses, you'll notice that specific
Ashley's
types
strutting
of
for the audience.
Stallions are just like, I look good and I know it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Arabians are the exact same way regardless, though, across the board, especially Arabian mares. It's like they strut.
Oh, wow.
They know they look good and they love to show it off.
Oh.
So that's why they're good for show horses or something?
Arabians I generally recommend for dressage. They make good jumping horses, too, but you have to be pretty lightweight yourself, because if you want to jump high, you have to be lightweight yourself.
That makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah. No, you don't want to be weighted down.
I would not definitely want to go jumping off a horse. No.
Jump myself if I have to.
Also,
just get off the horse.
Just get off the horse and jump.
Turtle and have a choice.
Okay, your turn, come on.
Like, first-time cat owners, also, just for dog owners, too, I also recommend a short-haired animal versus a long hair, because long hairs do require a lot of maintenance with grooming, and that's the thing about Maine Coons and Persians and other long-haired cats.
Ooh, I should do Maine's hair. I should like to get her shaved like a lion.
Oh
my gosh!
I
don't do that to your cat.
Lion cuts are actually a pretty good way to do low maintenance cuts if you have a long hair and you don't want to brush it. In fact, lion cuts are actually healthier in the summer versus letting it get mats, because with mats you're going to have patches of dry skin and irritation, and it'll actually start hurting them if they pull.
Oh,
interesting.
Like, I thought Men's was short hair though, not long haired.
Huh. She's short haired.
Yeah, you don't need to shave her then.
Yeah, I was like, you need to like get rid of all the fur.
I recommend, but regardless of short hair or long hair cats and dogs, and honestly, if you have a horse, I'd recommend this too. I'd recommend the Equigroomer. It's kind of designed on like an undercoat brush for a horse, but it actually is basically the same thing. But basically, it pulls out all the loose and dead coat from under the from the coat.
Oh, okay.
So even short-haired animals, they will get dry skin and irritation. Ooh. So it's like, I actually do recommend just getting an Equigroomer with cats, and that you should be fine.
How should you take a cat a bath if you have to? What's the proper way?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing about cats and baths. You can bathe them, but I really recommend starting them off when they're kittens and getting them used to the process first and desensitizing them. You can give an adult cat a bath. It's going to be a battle, and you're going to end up with scratches. Usually cats, you don't need to bathe them for the most part, unless if you have a sphinx. And oh yeah, sphinx is another cat I don't recommend for first-time owners, just because of the maintenance. You do hairless cats and Rex cats, you do have to bathe at least once a week, because they will get dandruff and skin issues if you don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they don't have all that fur to buff.
Yeah, well, they're bare skin. They're also highly temperature sensitive, so you actually do need to buy them coats and stuff, because they will freeze.
That's cute. Like a little sweater. Something.
And you also have to get them desensitized to putting clothes on. And it's actually quite a process, because most animals aren't, it's like
not
instinctively, they like, yeah, they're not really like, okay, I don't really know if I like this or not.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. It's like an animal that you're not used to really bathing a lot or having a lot of maintenance on, I don't recommend as a first timer.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, on that note, like, I'm actually this summer, I'm taking care of like a bunch of dogs, and I wanted to know, for at least myself, how would you treat heat stroke for animals, especially during the summer? How do you take care of a dog whenever they're walking on the sidewalk? It's hot. And
so
don't want to burn their feet.
So there are a couple of options, actually, I've seen people do. You can put coconut oil or Vaseline on their paws, and there's also like different products on Amazon called like paw guard or muzzle guard or something.
Before or after the
dog? Before.
Okay. All right. Cool.
If the paws do get burned, I'd recommend just kind of consulting with your veterinarian about it. But usually, I don't know. Sometimes I put a little bit of Vaseline on the paws, and that usually is fine. But I'd also recommend talking to the veterinarian about that too.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, if your animal is suffering from heat stroke, especially if it's a dog or a cat, cool down the paws and their underside, specifically the stomach, because that's how they thermal regulate. They don't have bare, unless if it's a sphinx, as I mentioned before, maybe like a greyhound or a whippet, or basically an animal with little to no fur.
You put ice, like just, or how?
A cold tile would be best.
Cold tile, okay.
Or like, I don't know, a kit, like just But you don't want to do ice on bare skin. So
yeah, no,
like if you put a towel
or something.
I'd recommend like getting like a bag or like a bag of ice and like putting it under a towel and just laying the animal on it.
Okay.
And it's gonna take a few minutes for the animal to cool down because you don't want them to go back down to homeostatic temperature. You want them to go back to lower biological temperature or normal biological temperature slowly because if it goes too fast, because if you have temperature fluctuations too fast, the animal will go into shock.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, I figured. What are the first signs of like heat stroke for an animal?
Lots of panting, lethargy, and they're just kind of lying in their side, kind of. Like they're just not moving. They're not responding to you.
Their eyes are like shot or something?
Their eyes are wide. They're just not responding to like neurological. Like when you tap at the head, for example, usually their eyes will twitch.
Yeah,
they'll twitch or blink. If they're not blinking, that's bad.
Okay.
Very bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, I mean, you mentioned panting like more than usual?
Or? Like rapid panting.
Okay.
Very rapid panting. Chickens will do that too. Chickens, it's like if you have a chicken or a bird, you have to cool off the feet.
Oh, okay.
That is how they thermoregulate.
So just like the feet area is like how to like regulate the
Now yeah. bird baths make so much sense.
Oh yeah, bird baths.
Bird baths are something different. Like if you have a bird that's too hot, you do need to, I would just recommend cooling down the feet. At cats and dogs, it's like again underside and paws.
So wait, if birds regulate like through their feet,
mm-hmm.
you know how like herons or like mm-hmm. ducks or mm-hmm. seagulls mm-hmm. are like in the ocean and their mm-hmm. feet are in the ocean, or like actually just any ocean bird, like
mm-hmm. yeah,
like are they just like how like that's cold water? Mm-hmm. So how are they able to keep their temperatures up?
Oh yeah.
It's because they have more, first of all, seabirds and aquatic birds actually are a design, they have a kind of a different biological setup with their feathers versus like a chicken. They're also designed for flight. Mm-hmm. So they have higher metabolisms and they also have more down feathers and contour feathers on kind of like their underside, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And they also are designed to float on water. In fact, with albatross birds and sea, albatross are actually known for flying like around the world for months on end without even landing.
That's so cool.
Wow.
But don't they like sleep while they fly?
Another thing about seagulls is they actually don't spend that much water. Another thing about seagulls and albatrosses and ducks and stuff, keep in mind that when we see them in water for long periods of time, it's summer. So the surface of the water is actually fairly warm.
Right, okay, that makes sense.
Where it's like in the cold water, like in the ocean, yeah, we might see seagulls or albatrosses in the water or whatever, maybe for a few minutes, but they're not staying there that long. They can't afford to stay there that long. Otherwise, they are gonna get too cold and then they'll drown.
Okay. So then penguins.
Penguins are a whole different species.
That's a whole different species.
Well, their feathers are also set up completely different too. And their wings, if you want to call them that, are basically designed like dolphin flippers.
Wait, do penguins have rings?
Technically.
Oh, okay.
They also have knees.
They have what? I didn't know that. I didn't know that penguins have knees.
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
Yeah, they do, and so do owls.
Oh,
owls
okay.
are cool.
They are very cool.
Yeah.
How they spin their head around like 360.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They can spin their heads around. Yeah.
I thought they were just cute little animals.
Owls are creepy. Like if you're behind them, they can turn their heads around and like face you.
That's neat.
Okay, so side owl story. So there's an owl that likes to sit outside. Like we built like a dog run to mm-hmm. let the dogs out that's like protected from wind when it's like windy outside.
Mm.
So this owl likes to sit outside like in a tree and hoot at Sundra and it makes her mad.
How dare you hoot at me?
Yeah. So if you want to tick her off, you just kind of like hoo-hoo and then she's like
How dare you hoot at me?
Yes, yeah, it's cute.
Yes. Well,
anyways,
do we have any like last minute questions for Amanda before we see her off on live radio? Michelle, Miguel, or any like final
I guess, yeah, with your veterinary, after your veterinary program, like, do you have plans yet? Are you going to stay in England? Are you going to come back?
Are you going to come see us?
Are you going to come back with us?
Yeah.
We'll have gerbils waiting.
Please don't.
Actually, what Miguel did isn't nearly as bad as what my sister and her counselor friends did to bullfrogs.
Oh, no.
And that actually is legally condoned by the U.S. a government, by the way.
Yeah,
but
bullfrogs.
Yeah, it is actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. Anyways, to actually answer the question, my current plans are to go into emergency veterinary medicine just because my odd sleep schedule, it's like I'm actually designed for nighttime hours, and I love the surgeries and the situations that come into emergency. Like, despite me being autistic, I love the constant stimulation and always having something to do in emergency. There's just always something going on, and I love it.
Huh.
So we'll see what, in terms of me staying in England or not, we'll see what happens. My current plan is probably to stay in England because I actually want to live in Edinburgh, Scotland eventually. Like, that's where I want to end up in, like, permanently. Like, Edinburgh has always been my dream city to end up.
Ooh.
And I definitely do plan on coming back to visit both my family and my friends if you guys are still here. And for all I know, you guys are going to be other places too.
Maybe.
If I ever go to Europe, I'm just going to show up on your doorstep and be like, hey, I want to crash here for a week.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably
go. As long as you don't mind sleeping with four cats, sure.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah, I would.
That's a bonus.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
I'd be curious to see how my cats react to a new house guest. And it's like, I actually love the apartment we found in England because there's this big sunroom that's just basically acts like a giant catio. And it's like
tempered. Nice.
And it's double. Yes. And it's double. And it's like double paneled glass. So it's also really, it'll stay warm and cool.
Whoa,
and nice. It's like, oh my God, I've wanted to build a catio for so long, but I was always terrified they'd escape. Now there's a built-in catio that leads into the house. I love it.
Your neighbors are like, how are your tomato plants doing?
Like, you mean like, you mean
my
cats?
They're growing great.
They're growing great, yeah.
My babies are 4 years old. I don't want them to age.
No.
I have vowed to find a way to cure aging to prevent my cats from aging.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Amanda, we're going to miss you a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's broadcast about disability culture. Find more information and resources concerning this episode and others at pcc.edu/DCA. You can also find linked resources on today's episode page, hosted on kboo.fm. Search for Let's Talk. This episode was produced by the Let's Talk Podcast Collective as a collaborative effort between students, the Accessible Education and Disability Resource Department, the PCC Multimedia Department, and KPOO. We post newly recorded content bi-weekly on our home website. Again, that's pcc.edu/DCA. And we hope you always tune into our shows here on KPOO every first and fourth Friday of the month at 11 a.m.?
First and third Fridays.
First and third Fridays. Oh, should I say it again?
Just that
part. Okay. Oh my goodness, I have to go all the way back. We post newly recorded content bi-weekly on our home website. Again, that's pcc.edu/DCA. And we hope you always tune into our show here on KBO every first and third Friday of the month at 11 a.m. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
See you guys again sometime.